B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Demaryius Thomas spoke to the New York Daily News.
Our buddy Manish.
Manish, Patriot Manish Mehta. Here's what he wrote. Here's the lead to the story. Demaryius Thomas learned a valuable lesson with the evil empire he won't soon forget. That's how Manish refers to the Patriots, the evil empire. Never trust the Patriots. Bill Belichick will toss you away at a moment's notice if someone better comes along. The 31-year-old Thomas found out the hard way after taking Lord Vader at his word this summer. The five-time Pro Bowl wide receiver's decision to stick around Foxborough after getting cut in late August revealed a sobering truth about the NFL's greatest dynasty. Their word is not their bond. Thomas chose not to sign elsewhere since he was given assurances that his spot with the Patriots this season was not in doubt. New England brought Thomas back 2 days later after placing N'Keal Harry on injured reserve, but changed course a week later when the mercurial Antonio Brown slithered out of Oakland. Belichick traded Thomas to the Jets for a sixth-round pick, 8 days after re-signing him. The Patriots thought so little of Thomas's threat level that they were fine dealing him to a division rival for peanuts. I would say that they were right to think so little of his threat level, but they were willing to trade him to the Jets.
And I don't like the worst use of the word mercurial for Antonio Brown. That was what we used for Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Doesn't work for both players.
And you also can't say he's slithered to say he's a snake, but also then say he's mercurial.
Right.
Doesn't
work.
Yeah. Here are the quotes from Demaryius Thomas to the Daily News. It was insulting, for sure. Once I got cut, I could have just come here to the Jets and not stayed there to re-sign. When they re-signed me, I was thinking that I was good. 2 weeks later, I was gone. So it's like, why did I waste my time? Because at the end of the day, it was kind of a waste of time for me. They took a chance on me to bring me in and help me get healthy. He was cut by the Texans back in December after the Achilles.
See, there's a lot that people hang on Brady for being upset about AB not being here. Talking to the quarterback in the preseason, he really liked Demaryius Thomas. He did, for whatever reason. I think it was the fact
that... Well, they looked good in the one preseason game, too.
Well, a lot of that was Stidham.
Was it Stidham with him?
Stidham
was
the
third game.
He was also playing
against
Scrubs.
Or Stidham.
It says here, I always knew I was going to be able to still play, and it would have worked out because I was still learning their offense. Josh McDaniels drafted me, so I felt like I was cool. But even having conversations with him and a couple other people, it was like, you're going to be okay. 2 weeks later, AB gets cut, and they kicked me to the curb and shipped me out like I'm just a rookie. Thomas didn't speak with anger when retracing his end with the Patriots, but made it clear that he didn't believe the team was forthright with him.
Good work by Manish, just covering for him there.
Thomas, didn't frankly, should have been insulted. He was an accomplished player with a decade-long reputation as a selfless team guy.
What did they owe him?
He was honest with the Patriots during his rehab. All he asked was the same in return. Evidently, that's an unreasonable request at one Patriot place. Every time I read these, like,
I think I know why
stories about how much he can't stand the Patriots, it's like, dude, you're writing it for your Jets guy. I'm not saying he's a Jets fan. I'm saying he covers the Jets. Right. Like, the Jets should take a couple lessons from one Patriot place.
Exactly.
They may not suck so much. Are you kidding me? What? We're going to get all upset on behalf of Demaryius Thomas after all the money success he had?
To be fair,
who gives a flip?
To be fair, I think.
Dude, you got traded. You're still employed in the National Football League. They pay you your contract still.
To be fair, I think I know.
It's part of the sport.
I think I know why Demaryius Thomas is upset.
What is it?
And I'm not sure that he expressed this here, but there's this like little quirk in the rules, right? Where, so basically, like to get certain guys, like to if you got a player who you want to bring back from IR, then he's got to be on the roster through the cutdown. And so you get him through the cutdown, and then he makes it to the day after the cutdown, and then you can move him to IR. Then he's eligible to return, but you need to create a roster spot to do that. You saw the Browns do this with Greg Robinson, right? Their left tackle. They cut him, and they brought it with the agreement they were going to bring him back the next day. So Demaryius Thomas was that guy for the Patriots.
Stick around. We're going
to
bring him back.
They cut him with the intention of bringing him back the next day to clear someone for IR return, right? So I could see where he would be upset, where he's like, well, wait a second. You cut me and got me to agree to come back here when I could have signed with anybody.
Right.
And then you trade me a week later.
I traded him to the Jets.
He said
he could have went to the Jets, right. But he could have went somewhere else.
I can see where you'd be upset at that. Like, where if you had an agreement with the team, and that's probably why Belichick is being, like, a little bit magnanimous about this. If you had an agreement with the team, like hey, we're going to cut you. Can we trust you to come back here? And you say yes, and then they go through with it, and then they trade you a week later. I can see where you'd be upset about that.
All right, here is the answer today from Bill Belichick when being asked about this.
Well, Mary sounds called it disrespectful and insulting the way the trade went down this September. Do you have any regrets about how that whole situation played out?
Demaryius is a great kid. I have a ton of respect for him. He's very professional and did everything we asked him to do. Our circumstances changed a couple times in that period leading up to when he was traded. And so I feel like I was always truthful with him, but things changed, and therefore what I said was not the same as what it was, what I'd said previously. So it is what it is.
See, so I think
he sort of admits, I told him he was going to be here, but then
AB became available, and I needed a roster spot. I think that's exactly
that's
what he's saying, right?
Yeah. He's not saying, you know.
I mean, my guess is what he said to Demaryius was, hey, we got a spot for you, dude. We need to go through this one little thing, and you're good.
But what Bill Belichick just described is the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, on August.
No, but you can see where the individual player would be upset about that, especially if it's a guy who was a first-round pick who was like a big
He's been around for a long time, and he's not. Here's the thing: it's a guy who's just not accepting what he is anymore.
Well, that's hard. I mean,
think about it. Too.
That part could be
at the bottom of the roster now, not the top.
You're a pro. You're at the end. You're rehabbing your butt off. Now, I mean, yeah, you get to go play with Sam Darnold, but you had the chance to play with Tom Brady, and you're set on that. He went from Peyton Manning to Tom Brady.
He hasn't accepted what he is.
And they asked for your trust. They asked for your trust. You gave it to him. They turn around and trade. I can see what he's
upset. Understand why he's upset.
I don't think he's still going to be upset about this 3 months from now. I can see right now where he would still be a little bit like that turned him off a little bit.
Yeah, it's still fresh.
And now he's has to play for the Jets. It's not like he had a choice to pick another team.
Right.
Not that I think in his mind, he probably is now. He's able to tell himself, Bert, that there were all these other teams that were going to want him.
I'm sure that's part of it, too.
And I don't think that's true, but he can tell himself that.
Right. I'm sure that's part of it. Like you couldn't have let me just go out and pick my own team. Like, if you did that to me, you wouldn't.
You got to make me play for this suckbag team right now?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Bert, before we let you go, what'd you make of the Jalen Ramsey trade and the Rams?
Huge risk for the Rams.
Seems dumb, doesn't
it? No first rounders for 5 years. That's 2017 to 2021. That's where your cheap talent comes
from.
Stuck
with the quarterback, paying him.
I mean, and that's the thing is, like, so their offensive line now, they lost Saffold and Sullivan, who were two, like, foundation pieces for him last year, right? So they don't have those two anymore. Who knows how much longer Whitworth's going to play, who's been their best lineman for a while now, their left tackle. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about a debilitated Gurley, potentially, right? An offensive line that is a shell of itself. And you know what it becomes is, like, this is when you pay your quarterback. What happens is, like, now all of a sudden, you got to make it work in different spots because your quarterback's making
more. You're paying the linebacker. You're paying Darnold. You're paying the safety.
And that's why.
You're going to be paying Ramsey.
Yeah, it's Donald, Gurley, Cooks. Ramsey's going to get paid. Goff. I mean, Dante Fowler's making $14 million this year. They're in this position now where it's like, now you need the quarterback to be able to elevate everybody else around him up. And what becomes hard about that is like, okay, like, where do you cut corners salary-wise? You do it with rookies because they're making less.
So you have no depth.
And you don't have your first-round picks, then that becomes a problem.
You don't have first-round picks for the next 4 years.
I mean, they don't have a first-round pick, so they didn't have one in 17. They traded that for Goff in 16,
right?
They didn't have one in 18. They traded that for Cooks. Last year they had the traded out of the first round, and then the 20 and 21 picks go to Jacksonville for Ramsey.
Oh my God!
So that's 5 years without a first round pick.
That's going to fall apart.
Makes
there.
Bill look good too with the
with Gilmore. No Gilmore, question. Right? I mean, like the Gilmore thing. You know what's crazy about that? What was so crazy about that is that Gilmore deal looked so crazy. To me, like the Gilmore deal was like what? Like that's not like the Patriots to do something like that, right?
So out of character.
And here we are,
day one at midnight of free agency, and they're. Signed, it was like $70 million,
right? It was 65 over 5, yeah. and now we're sitting here two and a half years later, right? And they have the best corner in football who is making, and like, listen to this, more than $10 million a year less than Khalil Mack.
Genius.
Like, so you look at the way that that all kind of came together. Like, I think Bill maybe recognized the corners. The top of the corner market's a little more affordable than in other spots, right? Yeah. And the fact that a guy like this isn't going to come available very often, does Ramsey ever make it to the market? No, because Jacksonville gets ahead of that and trades him, right?
Right.
So it's rare that a guy like that makes it to the market. Bill wins again.
Wins again.
Bill wins again.
Absolutely. Bert, thanks for being here.
You guys, bud.
All right, Bert Breer, the MMQB with us here on Zolak and Bertrand right now. The action update
Can I take one more shot at Bert?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Ohio State, since the rain happened and the Yankee game got moved and wrestling is on Fox.
Our ratings are pretty good. I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys have
to
move
now. I'm going
to
be there tomorrow.
You guys have to move now.
I'm going
to
be there tomorrow night.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Ohio State rates pretty well, actually.
They're playing Northwestern.
They're playing Northwestern.
Don't get shot.
Northwestern's like 1-5.
Don't get shot in the calf.
I won't. I won't. I'll avoid the rubber bullets tomorrow.
Thanks, Bert.
I've matured, so.
A Celtics contract offer to Jaylen Brown. We'll tell you what it is, what they're looking to pay him. Will he accept it? We'll talk about that coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I feel like the negotiations are going well. I think that, whoever put out that report was not accurate. We are working to try to come to some resolve by Monday as our deadline, and negotiations have gone well. Jaylen doesn't seem to be too stressed about it. He seems to be good and playing well and in good spirits and working hard. It's hard not to think about it at all. I think every player would, but I think that we're in a good place. And we'll see what happens over these next few days.
That's Danny Ainge this morning right here on 98.5 The Sports Up with Toucher and Rich. The Celtics have reportedly offered Jaylen Brown 4 years and $80 million. The report that Danny Ainge references there is one that has been widely circulated in the last day. It came from Chris Haynes at Yahoo Sports, who said that Jaylen Brown's been offered the 4 years and $80 million, and he turned it down because he's looking for more. Not a surprise to hear that. 4 at $80 million, I don't think, is enough to get the deal done, because if Jaylen Brown does hit the market, I think he could get more. Celtics, when it comes to rookie-scale extensions, haven't done a ton of them. Takes away some of your leverage in those negotiations. They can match any deal that a player gets going out onto the market. And so sometimes that, when a player goes, well, most of the time you go out looking for offers, it drives down the offers, because giving a player an offer sheet takes up the cap space. So He is good, though, Jaylen Brown. I think we all like Jaylen Brown. You like Jaylen Brown as a player?
There's times I like him better than Jason Tatum.
You're a big fan of him. Here's your real question.
Like, okay, obviously everybody feels Tatum's your young and up-and-coming star, right? And gun to Jaylen Brown's head, does he think personally he's better than Jason Tatum? I would say probably yeah. I would think he's more explosive, brings more to the table. Jason's more of that shooter, sort of that floater. And I don't blame him based on how he plays, the attitude that he has. And when you look around this league and what some guys make, I don't blame him for turning this down.
So here's where
Plus, he just got a new agent. So he had no agent. He was representing himself.
If I'm Jaylen Brown, I look at the 4-80 and say, well, I could do better than that. And so, no, I'm not taking 4-80. So I understand that's not going to get the deal done.
I think Danny knows it, too. Danny said we made him a couple offers.
Yeah. I mean, listen, 4-80 is the number. Danny said the report's inaccurate. He didn't specifically say which part of the report is inaccurate.
Well, it's got to be the numbers.
Could be the number. Could be that.
Because he said we've offered him multiple times.
Yeah, it could be that, you know, the sort of the tone of the report is there's one offer. Jaylen Brown said no and walked away. No, it could just be part of a larger conversation. So there could be. There's definitely some truth in it. Just. Who knows which part he's talking about is inaccurate.
He said Monday's the deadline.
Well, yeah, for the rookie scale extensions. So, or else that's it. You got to wait until, you know, he can hit the market next year. But if I'm him and I'm looking at that, I'm looking at the opportunity to play a lot more this year and have a bigger role and be another year older.
Well, I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, look at all these dudes just did in China, how they screwed this up too. And the amount of money that's out there and shoe contracts and how much money this league makes from an individual standpoint. Yeah, you know, his 80's a lot to him, but he can make a lot more than that. He really can.
Well, I'd look at it
at
the possibility
14, right?
of being more important on this team this year than he was last year, an expanded role on this team, more importance both on and off the court this year with this team. I think that's something to look at. I think the free agent class next summer is sort of weak. I think if you look at the salary cap, granted, I don't know what the salary cap will do with the China situation,
right.
But either way, there are teams with space. He will be entering at that point. He'll be going into his age 24 season.
Jim, what were you saying, too?
Ridiculously young.
Jim said Bradley Beal just did a two-year, $72 million extension, 36 a year. And then he's going to be able to reap the benefits of that in another 2 years after that where he's going to be up for a big
deal. Jaylen Brown is not even 23
yet.
Jaylen Brown's not even 23. And at this time next year, he will not even be 24. He turns 23 next week. So he'll be going into his age 24 season. And so he'll be young. He'll be potentially a star wing, which in this league now is just so, I mean, sought after in this NBA, in the modern NBA. And so if he continues to grow as a player, he could be worth a lot more than $20 million a year. So the $20 million is not going to get the deal done. When you're a 4-80, immediately you're like, well, that's not going to get it done. But that just could just be part of the negotiation. There's also this, though, too. When you put $80 million guaranteed down on the table in front of someone, that is life-changing type of money.
Sure.
So it's not entirely stupid to be putting to start at that point. It's not insulting to say to someone, hey, here's $80 million on the table over the next 4 years. And when you are done with that contract.
Four for 100 get it done?
I think you'd be getting close.
I think you'd be getting real close, yeah.
So, but when you're talking about 4-80, right? Here's $80 million. And when you're done with that contract, you're going to be 27 years old. 27 years old, and you will have $80 million from that contract already paid to you, and you will be years shy of your 30th birthday in this league. Years shy. It's got to be sort of a selling point. Even though you know you can make more, there's got to be some temptation there to be like, hey, to the agent, come on. Let's just try and nudge them for a little more. And, well, let's do this. Because assuming he likes it here, and I don't know if he does. I don't know what his personal feelings are about the team, the organization, the coach. I have no idea.
It's not Detroit.
If he has desires to go elsewhere, I have no idea. But if he does, who knows?
Yeah.
Does China factor in for you guys at all? If you were that player, would that factor in at all, knowing the salary cap might come down that much?
No.
Nope. It would not.
No, because if you're good, they're going to find a way to pay you.
No, you can only pay up to a certain point, though, as a percentage of the cap maxes out.
Nope.
It's still north of 20.
Yeah, it'd still be worth more, way more than this. No, it wouldn't factor in for me at all. And it shouldn't factor in for him. So.
I like how he said, I have a chance to establish myself as a star. Or according to the report. So he thinks that $20 million isn't good enough for somebody that hasn't established himself as a star. Or it is good enough for a non-star. Do you get what I mean?
No, because I find his comment to be very accurate, extremely accurate for his current situation. And if he goes out and doesn't sign a contract now and waits a season and establishes himself as a star, then he is worth way more than $20 million in a matter of 7 or 8 months.
So is anybody in this league worth $20 million, or everybody's either like a $10 or $15 million player or like a $25, $30 million player?
There is some truth in what you're saying to that, too. Yeah,
That's the issue.
Yeah, there is.
Marcus Smart's 14
You identify that handful of guys who are worth like the max contract or approaching the max, and then everyone else falls into that category, which is well below that.
The Kelly Olynyk category, can we call it that?
He's definitely not in that category. He is definitely better than Kelly Olynyk. But if he,
how much did Turner end up making? 18 year?
Him saying that was a couple years ago. He has a chance to establish himself as a star.
Come on,
I find that to be a very accurate statement, because I would describe his current situation and upcoming season as just that. Yep, just that. He has the chance to have a more important role on the court, off the court, and. That, to me, is exactly the situation he's in. And he's a little bit older, yet he's still only going to be 23 next week.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah, he has a chance to be a star in this league. A chance to establish himself as that and make a lot of money and be worth a lot more next offseason than he is right now before this season begins. Truth. Yeah. All truth.
Yeah.
And he knows it. He's a smart guy. He's a super smart guy.
Yeah.
I think we've all sort of learned that about him since he's come to Boston. Very smart individual.
No, I don't blame him for not accepting that offer at this time. It just doesn't. There's no upside in it for him.
Not in that offer.
No.
Other than, again, if you're a team, sometimes you can figure out what number will make a guy jump just for the sake of that's life changing money. And I.
Oh, what if Horford and Kyrie were still here? Like. How would he factor in? Is that a guy like wants to still be here and be part of that? Is that a guy like, shoot, you're going to build this around Kyrie? I'm going to bolt. He got a chance to build it around him.
Oh, yeah. Had they gone to the finals last year? And who knows what would have happened, with the injuries and everything that happened with Golden State? That might change things, sure. You have an opportunity to, be a part of something that's going to last for, like, several more years.
If you had a chance to keep one or the other, what do you think fans would want? Tatum or him?
Tatum.
What do you think that percentage would be?
I don't know.
It's close.
I think it'd be pretty close. I think it'd be closer than people think.
I think fans would opt for Tatum. I do. 617-779-0985. We will get back to your calls, thoughts, and reaction to the 4 years and $80 million that's been reported. Again, Danny Ainge told Toucher and Rich that's inaccurate, but that's what the report is from Yahoo Sports. You mentioned Bradley Beal. 2 years, $72 million was the number, the extension. That he got, so $2 and $72 million. We'll talk to Bruce Arena coming up later this hour as well. In fact, we've got a basketball question for him.
Talk some hoops.
Yeah, we've got a basketball tie-in.
College hoops. Let's talk college hoops.
With him. Oh yeah.
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 Okay.
I know about that. What he's learned?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's actually learned from some of the college basketball greats. All that is on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
cold is starting to set in a little bit here. When you say
starting to?
When you say I think it's 2 hours and 40 minutes in.
So you know they talk about the stages of grief. Well, the stages of freezing to death, and it's not just the physical things, because right now I'm entering into the depression phase because I know that I'm cold and I know that it's going to kill me.
And you can't stop thinking
about
it.
And I'm sad.
It's the worst part when you can't stop thinking about it.
I don't want my life to end. It's making me depressed. And that's like stage two. It's like, oh, it's cold. Now I'm depressed.
It's like when he froze outside the Overlook. Can I have more of me in my ears, please? Thank you.
Beto looks like Belichick with the hood on and the microphone coming out there.
Let's go to Travis in New Hampshire. Travis on Jaylen Brown.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just got a quick question. For these basketball players making this astronomical amount of money, is there ever going to be like a crash, like a housing crash, everybody keeps banking on? These guys keep pulling in more dough and more dough, and it's like unreal the amount of money they're pulling in. That's the first part. The second part is
what's the problem with that? What's the matter with them pulling in all the money? They should pull in all that money.
No, he's saying it will at any point reach a tipping point where there's just, okay, they've maxed out in terms of what they can get revenue-wise, what they can get for tickets. Is it ever going to reach a topple-over point?
I don't know.
Going back to that, you guys ask that same question in every professional sport?
I think Zoe made a good point.
It might
happen in baseball stadiums before it happens anywhere else.
Pace of play.
I mean, the popularity of basketball seems to be increasing, not decreasing.
They choose to do that.
Okay, compared to football, though.
I had a talk with my buddy, and we all have, like, kids, 10, 12, 13 years of age. When we all grew up, we had the jerseys of the hometown teams.
Yeah.
When you go to elementary schools now, and I totally agree with this, you see all the NBA jerseys everywhere, like all different teams. You see Steph Curry's. You see LeBron's. You see Kobe's from back when. This is the way kids watch this sport now.
I think kids are like less of every sport now.
Yeah, where it's just action.
I'm glad you brought that up too, though, right? So look at those names you brought up. The top highest paid basketball players last year, the top eight. All of these are monumental players who have commercials, deals with all kinds of... What does Jaylen Brown have? Is he on any commercials? Yeah, then any sort of revenue? Is he... produce anything to warrant that kind of money just playing the game?
Not yet.
Okay, so ready for this? Steph Curry, $37.5 million last year.
I don't understand your point. What's your point?
Kemba Walker, look how long he's been.
I'm waiting for a point in all of this.
You got to do commercials to get more money from the
team?
What's
the point?
No, that's individual.
I'm saying they've established themselves. But they took those contracts. They are like monumental players in the game. They got room to argue for a higher contract. I feel like, what has he done at 24 years old to warrant $20 million a year? And that's not good enough.
To warrant it? I'll tell you what he does to warrant it. If he goes out on the open market, he'd get five teams right now that would offer him more.
Just his talent.
Who?
Just his talent alone. If he goes out on the market next year, he'd have a handful of teams that would offer him more than that right now. That's just the market. Look at the contracts in this league. Look at what guys are getting paid now in the league. That's not a valid point because he doesn't have commercials?
I don't know.
What are you talking about? I don't think you have a great grasp on the landscape of the contracts in the NBA.
You can identify the talent in that sport even on a...
I don't know what your problem is with the guys in the NBA getting paid.
Even on a fledgling or underperforming team. If Giannis is on the Bucks this year, and the Bucks have an off year, which they could, is he going to be any less valuable to a team going forward? No. Because you see what he himself is capable of. Same thing in baseball. You know, you can drive your value up even if you're on a bad team because people can see what you do as a pitcher or as a hitter. It's tougher in basketball, or it's tougher, I should say, in football. And it's tougher in hockey for that matter, as we sit here freezing our asses.
If Jaylen Brown goes out and he has a bad year, he's still getting exactly, let's assume it's 480, he's still getting that exact offer. Yeah. From this team and others and after the season.
No, I don't know about that. But if the Celtics have a bad year and he still plays up to his potential, then the offer stays the same. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. They also got a new Zamboni here. This thing is badass.
See, I still think that like that $20 million, like he's going to get that, I think, either way. Like, I think that's sort of his like baseline.
But I'm not – but his – the offers don't stay the same. Like, let's say the Celtics made him an offer that he would accept, right?
For 100.
Yeah. Let's say it was 25.
Last year, his numbers were not fabulous last year. 13 points a game, 4.2 rebounds a game. He shot from the line.
Down.
He was 65.8% from the line. Like, if he goes out and has the same numbers he had a year ago, he's still going to have, and that's not a good year. All right, he's a former top five pick. He's supposed to be on the rise.
But that's my point.
If he does the same thing again this year, and then I think that's not a great, that we expect more than that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not a good year.
They're going to play together as a team
year. That's a bad
happier.
Year. Yeah. If he does the same thing this year as he did last year, it's a bad year. And you know what? He'll still get that offer for $20 million a year.
Yeah, the offer that he wouldn't accept, that he's worth more than.
Right, so he has not, my point is he has nothing to lose
right.
by playing it out.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that it's not like his value doesn't budge if he has a bad year this season. No, it would.
Well, no. How would it budge? If it doesn't go down.
The Celtics know that he's more valuable than 4 years at 80 right now. They were hoping.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
Yes.
But I think that the 4 years at 80 would be a deal working on the assumption that he is going to get better.
Right.
That he's not going to be that guy.
Right. Next year, they would say, here's your 4 at 80 again, because that literally is what you're worth based on what we saw here from a second straight season. You want it or not. And if he takes that to the open market, they could say, okay, good luck with that.
Like, fine, go ahead.
Right.
But he's still getting that money.
Right.
This is not an unfair assessment of where he's at, where the money would be at for him. So I think that that's just the way it is in that league. And I'm all for players making more money always. I have no issue with players making money. And this league's popularity is going up, not down. Despite the pro-communist takes from some of their players in this league.
Buy the shirts.
Despite that. Buy the shirts?
Buy Portnoy shirts.
Oh. But there are that is weird though with kids how they do root for more individual players, I guess, now more than ever. I mean, I think we all did.
Yeah.
Right? Kids have always sort of done that, but it feels stronger now than ever before.
Yeah. You're more spread now. Less home unless your local team's dominant. Yeah.
We'll talk to the sporting director and head coach of the Revs, Bruce Arena. His team's on the way to the playoffs. We'll talk to him about it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, it's fine.
You okay there, Zo?
Yeah, your hands get numb and then your brain goes.
617-779-0985. We're getting tweets wanting to know
why we're here.
How soon we're all gonna get sick.
Leave it tomorrow.
I think there's odds on how soon we get sick. From sitting in the ice box. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the sporting director and head coach of the New England Revolution. Bruce Arena joins us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Great. How are you gentlemen doing today?
We're doing well. How are the preparations coming along for the playoff match?
They're coming along well. You know, we're excited to get to Atlanta and try to win a game. It's going to be a great game, I think, on Saturday.
We've talked to you about the crowds down there, and I know they've averaged close to 52,000. Are saying there could be north of 70,000 people on Saturday?
Yeah, that'd be great. I feel like I'm playing in Gillette Stadium during a football game.
Are they going to keep? I don't know if you talked to Coach, but they opened the Oculus before the Super Bowl, and then they closed the Oculus, and that could depend on when. Have they told you whether it'll be open or closed depending on weather?
If it doesn't rain, the roof's going to be open.
Awesome.
And it was open a couple of weeks ago, so it should be a great atmosphere.
Great.
Carlos Heel named MLS Newcomer of the Year. How deserving is he of that award? And he obviously can create and score goals for you, but the role that he plays is work beyond just scoring and assisting. Is he almost underrated a little bit?
I think so. He's simply been outstanding. And, you know, if you follow the history of that award in this league, some of the great players have won it. Last year, Zlatan Ibrahimovic of the LA Galaxy won. And it's simply a terrific honor and really well deserved. Carlos has simply been outstanding. He's not only a great player, but he's a great teammate as well.
And it's some great company. You know, Jermaine Jones, the only other Revs player who was ever a finalist for it. But I think as impressive, Coach, is the fact that Gustavo Bow came in fifth in the voting, and he came in midseason.
Yeah, that's remarkable. And I'll tell you that the players that finished between Carlos and Gustavo have had outstanding seasons. So it says a lot about those two players.
So Gustavo, 14 games, and he finishes fifth in that voting. How excited are you down the road to have both of these players together for a full season?
Well, certainly. First of all, we're looking forward to the game on Saturday, but I'm really optimistic about the team we're going to put on the field in 2020 as well. So I think those are just positive things for the Revolution as we move forward.
Did you change anything this week as far as preparation since we talked to you a week ago? Do you do anything
a little different? Bit, but this is almost unprecedented in playoffs where you're playing the team that you just played last in the regular season. So we had a lot of preparation beforehand, and being familiar with that team at this point is simply great for us. And I really believe that when we go into Atlanta, you know, we realize that no one expects us to win except our team. And I think we're headed in there at a good point in the season. We've had great preparation. We have a good attitude. So I wouldn't be surprised if we win the game on Saturday.
We're talking with Bruce Arena, and we got the big match coming up on Saturday right here on 98.5. The Sports Hub against Atlanta, 1 o'clock kickoff. We asked you last week about Edgar Castillo. Is there any update there on his health and his availability for the game?
Yeah, he's not going to be available for this game. You know, he's been out for well over 2 months, so I think it's smart to keep him out. He's really not ready to contribute at this point in time.
In terms of using Pena for this match, I know that he had some really good chances in the first half in your last match against Atlanta. Do you think they'll do anything to try and counter that?
Well, if they do, that means they're going to pay a little bit more attention to him, and that's going to give hopefully some openings for other three players up top, and Teal Bunbury and Carlos Heel and Gustavo Bow. So
that'd be great.
I'm not concerned what they do. I think if they have to focus on us, they know they're in trouble on Saturday.
Coach, we read the story that Stan Grossfeld did on the Globe when he followed you guys when you went out west. It was excellent, and we loved reading about when you were at Virginia in the 80s, your office being next to the visiting basketball locker room. And in the story, for those of you who weren't able to read it, Coach, you kept quiet and listened to some great coaches that were visiting Virginia. And you named some big names. Dean Smith was in this. Mike Krzyzewski was in this.
Lefty Driesell.
Driesell.
Yes.
Jim Valvano, Bobby Kremins, Digger Phelps. I mean, I was in graduate school for coaching, sitting in my office and listening to these gentlemen. It was absolutely fabulous. And, you know, you always talk about you'd like to be a fly in the wall and listen to things. I was literally that, and I'll be honest with you, it really helped mold a lot of things that I tried to do in my career. So it was a fabulous experience.
Did you sit there with a cup on the wall and your ear right against it? Or?
Well, when they moved me downstairs to that office, they cut the visiting team locker room in half, and one half remained as a locker room, and the other half was my office. So we had a false ceiling. and really just plywood or plaster, I should say, in the wall. So it was pretty easy to hear. So it was pretty remarkable.
Well, I went to Maryland in the late 80s, and the basketball team ate with the football team. So Lefty Giselle, you always knew when he was in the room because he's the loudest guy in the damn room. You could hear his entire conversation. So I'm sure his voice went through the door a little bit more than other guys. Fair to say?
Yeah, he wasn't whispering, and I learned a few words at halftime one year listening and talking to the team. I learned some new words.
You said that Krzyzewski seemed almost like a professor in the way he approached the game.
Actually, it was Dean Smith. Dean Smith was like a professor.
But, oh, okay.
Krzyzewski was low-key. Valvano was like he was in the comedy store. You know, he was unbelievable. So it was really interesting watching behind the scenes how they prepared the teams, watch live how they made adjustments at halftime, and just see how they conducted themselves and how their personalities fit their coaching. So, you know, for me, it was a remarkable experience.
Yeah, do you wonder if there's any young coaches now that are doing the same thing to you?
Yes.
I hope not, because they're going to learn some new words as well.
What would they come away saying? You know, it's like you said that Valvano was like a comedian, no, and Dean Smith. What would be the take on your style?
Closest to?
Well, I think what I learned out of that is be who you are and don't try to be someone else. So if I'm trying to coach my team today and I'm trying to act like Dean Smith or Bill Belichick, I have it wrong. I got to act like Bruce Arena and do that. What's within my personality, my mentality, those type of things. That's what I took away from that. I certainly didn't walk away trying to be Valvano, Krzyzewski, Drizel, et cetera. I tried to be Bruce Arena. So that's how I've tried to coach during my career.
You like Yankees tonight?
Well, I do like the Yankees. I'm not sure if I like them tonight. I think, Houston's simply outstanding there. And I don't know who they're pitching tonight, but, they got a great pitching staff. I heard the other day that the Yankees on Game 3 were going to use their relief pitchers. So I don't know what's in order for them. Yeah, it'll be interesting. But, the Yankees have to win this game. There's no question about that.
All right, Bruce, appreciate your time. Enjoyed that read in the Globe. And appreciate you sharing those stories. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
All right. Bruce Arena joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Greinke versus Tanaka tonight.
Oh, Jesus. Yankees are going down. Hey, it's Dance Skate. There we go. Put your Bruins uniform on. Come on, pretend you're a Bruin.
I'd like to get you down there.
Zoe had an opening take today on Thursday Night Football tonight. We're going to get that take from him again coming up after these headlines. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.